is beginning to rain, rain, rain in the voice of our Father. Sing, whosoever will come drink of this water. I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas. Great to be with you on this beautiful day from Austin, Texas, here at Bible Home Church. You know, one of the greatest pleasures that I have in each day is to receive letters and email from my good friends. And it's great to be with you and able to relate some of this, share it with you. You know, I wish I had more time to do this, but we do get so much mail that I wouldn't really have time for our message each day, or each week, I should say. But I wanted to share a couple letters I've got with you because I do want you to know how much I appreciate hearing from you. And, of course, let's be honest, we need your financial help. We need your prayers. And I always love to get mail from folks because it uplifts the ministry, uplifts the church. Now, some of you may say, well, you don't really need that text. You always seem very euphoric and you're up and you're cheerful, and I am. But one of the reasons I'm always up and ready to go and on fire for the Lord is because I know the saints are praying for me. I know that the saints love Bible Home Church. You care, and you care about my welfare as pastor. So that does uplift my spirits. How do I know those things? Because you write to me and you let me know those things. And I appreciate that. And as you can, I know as the Holy Spirit leads you, you will give to this ministry so that we can continue our efforts. Received a letter from Brother David Brooks. He's from Jersey City, New Jersey. He writes, "Dear Brother Tex, please accept my most sincere apologies for not writing sooner. I am compelled, though, to say that as brother and friend of the Lord, I do care deeply about the truth and getting God's word out to a deceived world. I'm overjoyed that your radio program is reaching so many people who thirst for the truth. The Bible Home Church is a brilliant concept whose time has come. I am repulsed daily," writes David Brooks, "by the NIV Bible. I've found that if you cannot convert a new initiate of that abomination to the King James within a limited time frame, that person totally refuses your efforts and cannot be changed, for there seems to be a satanic spirit on the NIV version of the Bible that prevents people from wanting to see the truth. I have seen converted black Muslims rush to the King James Version after looking through the NIV and sensing that something was wrong. I thank you and Wanda for being so loving and kind to an old Christian soldier such as myself. May our Lord and Savior continue to give all of us the strength needed, for we will be victorious in Jesus Christ. Just remember, Jesus never said this would be easy, but he did say it would be worth it until he returns. Signed, David Brooks." Thank you, Brother Brooks, for that. Here's an email I got from Mark Patrick. And because it's an email, we don't know what town or city or state he's from, or maybe another country. But Mark writes and says, "Dear Pastor Tex, my wife and I just wanted to let you know how God has answered our prayers. One of the things that you have always been consistent on is the need to find a church that preaches the truth from the King James Bible. I agree with you on this 100%. My wife and I left a very liberal United Methodist church and began our search for a real church. We attended many churches in our area and were constantly disappointed with the blatant New Age practices and liberal doctrines that had no biblical base. Finally, God blessed us by directing us to an independent fundamentalist Baptist church only 5 minutes from our home. The pastor's name is C.M. Carruthers, and I believe him to be a true man of God. He consistently tries to inform the congregation that the King James is the only Bible God ever wrote. I wanted to tell someone about my experience, and I knew you would understand. I also want you to know I'm praying that God watches over and protects you and your family at Bible Home Church. Thank you, signed Mark Patrick. Well, those are just two letters we get this week. And, you know, of course, we recommend very heartily home churches. Why? Because, unfortunately, in many locations around the United States and the globe, there are not many fundamentalist independent churches such as Brother Mark Patrick has found. Now, if you can find one, well, of course, that's a wonderful thing. And please honor the pastor in that church by joining and entering fully into that relationship. Now, I want you to know we'd love to have you also as an associate of our Bible Home Church on the air. I don't know of anything in the Bible that says you cannot be an associate with one church and a member of another. In fact, I really don't know of anything that says you couldn't be a member of five or six churches. I'm not advocating that. But, you know, a church is an assembly. It's a congregation. It's a local group. Sometimes it can be a universal group. But it's people coming together in heart and spirit. That's the way I see a church. And it can be over the radio, over the TV. It can be in person. But you agree together in your desire to worship Jesus Christ. Now, a lot of people say, does it have to have certain requirements? A man wrote to me recently and said, we're meeting in a home church in our home, but we're worried the IRS may come down and get us for having an unregistered church. Well, worry right on, my friend. What has that got to do with anything? Of course, the IRS has no say at all in churches in America. Even the IRS code itself says that churches don't have to apply for 501c3, that is tax-exempt status. Now, I hope, I pray that America never gets into a situation, into a degraded situation, I should say, where we have to go to a government agency, whether it's the IRS or some other state, local, you know, or federal. We have to ask permission to meet in our homes and worship the Lord. I will never do that. I will never agree to that. And they'll have to put me in jail. And even there, unless they put me in solitary confinement, I'm going to meet with other Christians and we're going to worship the Lord together. We might have to develop some kind of a Morse code system through the walls. I don't know, but we're going to do it. We're going to worship the Lord no matter what. So, you know, please don't be fearful of the government. And I think maybe this brother was concerned. He says, we pool our money and we buy common things for the church. And what do we have to do about taxes? You don't have to do anything about taxes. The money is not yours. It's the Lord's money. You're not putting it in your pocket. You're using it for church uses. And you don't have to tell the IRS anything. I mean, if three or four neighbors got together because one of the neighbors was out of a job and his family didn't have food and the kids were suffering of that family, and if three or four other families got together and pooled their resources and each put in, let's say, $20, and they got a total of $60 up and went and gave it to the needy family in their neighborhood that was suffering, what's the IRS going to say about that? Nothing. It's a free gift. You've given a gift to someone. You can give a gift to anybody you want to, and it's non-taxable to the person receiving it. So if you give a gift to your home church, the IRS just, you know, they can go mind their own business. It has nothing to do with them. Nobody's making any money from it. Okay? So if you appoint a pastor, of course, and you pay him a salary, he can report that salary on his, you know, as an independent person on his tax return, like everybody else does. But in terms of the church, you don't have to do anything. You don't have to make it a tax return. That's you and God between you two, or as many as are in that church. So please, my friends, don't worry about administration and everything. Just meet together, just as the early church did at Acts. Now, on the other hand, You know, if you find a good church that's already in existence, maybe they might have a church building, or they might, who knows, they might meet in an auditorium or a school gym or something. I don't know. There's no requirement that you have to have a building, you know, to be a local assembly by any means. But if you can find one that truly honors God's Word, the King James Bible, I say wonderful. Why start a home church then if you can find such a church? But if you cannot, that's what I'm telling you. And thousands of you over the years have written to us and told us, and I believe you, you cannot find a good local church. My friends, I know what has happened, and you do too. Whether it's Pentecostal or Baptist or Methodist or Episcopal or Lutheran, the apostasy has eaten up our churches. But listen, there is a true church of Jesus Christ. And all of us who are chosen vessels of God are members of that true church. And I don't care whether you're living in Toledo, Ohio, or Nashville, Tennessee, or Brownsville, Texas, or wherever. You may be listening to this program from Romania or Nigeria or Brazil, but if you trust and believe in Jesus Christ and you're born again, according to John 3, verse 3, my friends, you are a member of the Church of Jesus Christ. Now, you can also be a member of a local church. There's the church, capital C, and then there's the local church. You can be a member there too. And that's what you should do. But if you can't find a church already existing, start your own. Because Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst thereof. Isn't that an amazing thing? Imagine, set up a few chairs in your garage, invite some friends and neighbors over, and if there's just two or three of you, you know, that could be a man and his wife. You could have your own church. You can give it a name, the Church of Jesus, the Church of Faith, if you want to, for fun. You say, for fun? Yes. Worshiping Jesus is fun. I enjoy it. That's why I do it. And I'm going to have fun forever. A lot of people don't know. They say, oh, you should be all serious and you should be all somber. And don't smile any. Don't tell jokes. You know, don't have a good time. Well, now listen here, friends. I expect to have a good time forever. I expect, I'm not talking about partying and bars and doing animalistic things. I'm talking about just worshiping Jesus is fun and joyful. It is. There's no greater blessedness and joy than reading the Bible and having an insight from God. Can you imagine? There's nothing that I know of better than that. That's joy. That's fun. So let's get out of our minds. It's serious business, of course, but I'm telling you, it's joyful. Well, okay. We finished our letters for today. We'll have some next time, perhaps. But we always have some beautiful music. Now, I want to tell you, we're starting a new series today called The Chosen Vessel. Are you a chosen vessel? Well, I'm going to be giving over the coming week seven characteristics, seven ways to identify a man or a woman who are a chosen vessel of God. You may be surprised. You may not be a chosen vessel thinking you are. You may say, I thought I was a Christian. I thought I was a chosen vessel, but you may not be. On the other hand, you may end up after this series saying, praise God, I am a chosen vessel of God. You'll find out whether you're one or not. I guarantee it by the time all this is over. And you'll have fun finding out. Yes, that's right. But first, we have beautiful music. We're going to have Brother Jesse Dixon. He's a man from the Chicago area. And my wife and I delightfully, if I can remember right, my memory is flagging somewhat, but I believe we met Jesse Dixon some years ago in Atlanta, Georgia. And he has a wonderful Christian spirit about him, beautiful songs. This is from his album now. He has an album from the Gaither Gospel Series. This album is called Jesse Dixon Sings Homecoming Classics. And the first song we're going to have today is an old one. And it's one of my favorites. Oh, how much he cares for me. Jesse Dixon, and then we're going to start with our series today, volume number one of The Chosen Vessel.
I know he cares. He cares for me. No one ever
I've discovered that is so true is that if you do not start or have possess a certain basic foundation or understanding, you really don't acquire a lot from hearing the truth spoken. Now, today I want to talk a little bit about that very foundation of truth. Because, you see, so many people hear Tex Mar's program, Power of Prophecy, and they just don't get it. There's something lost in their mind. And that is because their minds are not prepared for truth. They've been lied to and deceived, had the wool pulled over their eyes so long that they cannot conceive that somebody would actually, for once, tell them the truth. There is now, even in the news media, I have noticed what I call the new media and the old traditionalist media. There are a few that seem to be more honest than others now that are willing to speak out on certain issues. I noticed, for example, in the television news networks, Fox News Network, the news now, not the entertainment channel, people like Bill O'Reilly and Sean Hannity and others are willing to come out with more truths and more inside information, even on the global conspiracy and on the insiders, than ever before. But you have the Dan Rathers and the Tom Brokaws and the Peter Jennings of CBS, ABC, NBC, and Bozo, or whatever his name was, Ted Turner of CNN. These people are way behind, and they still feel arrogant and better than you. And they know you shouldn't hear anything that's conservative or true, and they try to deceive you. And they do, so many millions. But even in listening to people like Bill O'Reilly of the O'Reilly Factor on the Fox News channel, I have noticed that Bill sometimes doesn't get it either, because he doesn't have the framework that's needed. You see, my friends, you cannot lay a house on a bad foundation. Even Jesus Christ said that. You know, you can't start on quicksand. You can't go out to a swampy area and build a skyscraper. It's going to sink. It's going to flop. There's going to be loss of lives. You've got to have the right foundation. I believe, I am convinced, the only proper foundation is Jesus Christ. You say, oh, no, this is going to be one of those programs where Tex preaches to us. I wanted to hear all the inside facts on the conspiracy and on the Illuminati, but he's going to preach to us. Well, you that may be exactly what I'm going to do today. In fact, it is, because I want to talk to you, friend to friend, about who you are. You see, I know this. Unless you are a chosen vessel of God, you will not understand the truth in these last days. You will be deceived. Jesus said that the truth will sound so much different than the lie. The lie will be so smooth and syrupy and sugary and seductive that if it were possible, even the very elect would be deceived. If it were possible. Well, I'm here to tell you that it is not possible, because the Bible makes sure that you will not be deceived. That's why we always have our foundation is Jesus Christ here. Our foundation is the Bible. Our foundation is prophetic truth. And then we start from there. I always ask God, God, what do you want me to speak about this week on Power of Prophecy? And you know, I've always found I cannot go wrong. Oh, I do get criticism. I get despiteful people who don't like it. But I don't worry about them. I just go straight forward. I am never disappointed in the blessings I get from the Lord. You say, well, then you must have a yacht that you harbor down in Miami, and you must have a condo that you own over in Paris. No, I don't have those. But, you know, we have a decent living. We're not complaining because we don't go with a jet set and fly to Acapulco and lay out on the beach. We don't do those things, but we enjoy what we do. I love nothing better than to get in the car with one and go for a nice drive on a Saturday out into the hill country of Texas. That's one of my greatest thrills. I love to go out to the lakes here in central Texas and with my grandkids when they come to visit me and do a little fishing. I'm not a very good fisherman, I have to admit. I don't catch very much, but I keep talking about the big catfish, you know, that I see. Every once in a while I'll see him go by. And I tell my grandson Daniel, I say, that's Big Tex. I call him Big Tex, the catfish. We're going to get him someday. Well, we haven't yet got him. We've got a bunch of little ones, but not Big Tex. He escapes us. And see, to me, that really is living. This week, last weekend, Juan and I, for a change, you've been promised for 15 years you were going to drive me down to Corpus Christi, Texas, down to the beach down there. We didn't go out to the beach, but we drove by it, you know. We're not real beachites, I guess, that you want to call it that. But we had a lovely time going to Galveston and spending the night, not to Galveston, to Corpus. And, you know, it's not maybe Jamaica or the Bahamas. It's Corpus Christi, Texas, but it was okay. It's, you know, I guess it's 200 miles. Yeah, around 200 miles from Austin. You know, you can just drive there and come back the next day, I guess you could get back the same day if you wanted to. Hey, I think I'm living. Other people say, well, you're really living an impoverished life. No, I'm not. I'm doing just fine. My car doesn't break down. I've got a nice car, I go wherever God sends me. If I don't have the money, will he give me the money? Or he wouldn't send me there. He wouldn't tell me to go. Well, in any case, you see, some people think that means to be chosen. That's not to be chosen. But let me tell you what being chosen means. Today we're going to talk about the chosen vessels. Are you a chosen vessel of God? If you are, I believe you're going to understand from week to week what we're talking about here. It's so amazing to me. A man can be a heathen who believes that abortion is okay and there's nothing wrong with homosexuality. Then he comes to know Jesus, and suddenly, as a chosen vessel, he sees the whole world differently, in a different light. He can be an abuser of kids, but the minute he comes to know Jesus Christ, suddenly he's the biggest friend that his children have ever had. You say, that's not possible. No one can transform a man or a woman in such a way. That's not so. You just don't understand. You accept Jesus and be transformed, and you will find out. what an incredible, miraculous experience that is. Now, I am convinced that you cannot understand without this being chosen of Christ Jesus.
We hope this program has been a blessing to you, and we invite you to tune in next week as Pastor Mars continues this fascinating series, The Chosen Vessel.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.